Hello and welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse. This is lecture number 2 in our verse by verse study through the book of Joshua. And we begin our study today in Joshua chapter 1, verse 16. And Lord God in heaven, we ask that you would add your blessing to your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Joshua is about to lead the Israelite army and the rest of the Israelites across the Jordan River and into the Promised Land, the mainland of the Promised Land. He has just spoken to the three Israelite tribes who will settle east of the Jordan River and told them that it was God's will for them to cross the river and help their brothers take their territory before they return and settle down and enjoy life in their portion of the land. And so we are about to see their response to Joshua's word, and we pick it up in verse 16. Then they answered Joshua, "Whatever you have commanded us, we will do, and wherever you send us, we will go." In other words, whatever you want us to do, Joshua, we will do. We will help our brothers fight, and we will do the type of fighting that you think we are best suited to do. Joshua, whatever you say, we're going to follow you. In fact, they say in verse 17, "Just as we fully obeyed Moses, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses." The three tribes say here that they will obey Joshua, but they are quick to add that it will not be an unconditional obedience. They will obey him as he follows the Lord. And that's the way it should be. No one deserves our unconditional obedience except Almighty God himself. The Bible says we are to obey those who are in authority over us. Yes, obey those who are in authority over you, but make sure you say no if they command you to do something contrary to the Word of God. For God's glory and your own good, draw the line there. 18. Whoever rebels against your word and does not obey your words, whatever you may command them, will be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. So the 3.5 tribes really assure Joshua that they will follow, and if anybody doesn't follow him, they will be put to death. No room for disobedience in the military. And you know, a military must be disciplined, meaning they must force themselves to do what they sometimes do not want to do. And it is the same with us Christians. We must obey the Lord even if our feelings are not in it. That's not hypocrisy. That's discipline. That is sacrifice. And that's commendable. Chapter 2, verse 1. Then Joshua, son of Nun, secretly sent two spies from Shittim. "Go look over the land," he said, "especially Jericho." So they went and entered the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there. Now, obviously, these two Israelite spies were kept secret from the people of Jericho. So when it says here in verse 1 of chapter 2 that Joshua secretly sent these two spies, that is actually talking about keeping it a secret from the Israelites. Joshua didn't tell his fellow Israelites that he was sending spies to check out Jericho. He didn't want them to know. Joshua did not want anybody to get the wrong idea. He didn't want anyone to start thinking that he was afraid, or maybe he was doubting the promises of God about taking the land. So he kept it a secret even from them. 2. The king of Jericho was told, "Look, some of the Israelites have come here tonight to spy out the land." Well, it wasn't a secret from the king of Jericho. Well, you can bet that that king, he knew all about Israel and her powerful God. And you can bet that he had people watching Israel like a hawk, camped out so close to his city. That's how he learned that a couple of spies had entered his city. Verse 3. So the king of Jericho sent this message to Rahab: bring out the men who came to you and entered your house, because they have come to spy out the whole land. These two men entered the home of Rahab the prostitute. And the only thing these two spies did in that public house of harlotry was to use it as a hideout, a base of operations. 4. But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them. She said, yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they had come from. Well, that's a lie. Remember, Rahab was a pagan. She had been a heathen all her life. Now, she has faith in the real God right now. You say, well, how do you know that? Well, it's pretty obvious. At the risk of offending her king, which would mean death if she got caught, she hides the Israelites. You don't do that unless you have faith in the one true God. Now, she lied, which is not good. It is sin. But her sin does not cancel out her faith in God any more than your sin as a Christian cancels out your faith in Christ. Verse 5. At dusk, when it was time to close the city gate, the men left. I don't know which way they went. Go after them quickly. You may catch up with them. Well, she's lying some more. And her lies, regardless of the motive, cannot be called a good thing. They are not a good thing. Some people say, oh, she lied, but it was to protect the Israelites, so it really wasn't a lie. It was a lie. A lie is a lie. Regardless of the motive, it cannot be called a good thing. Jesus said, woe unto those who call evil good and good evil. And the Bible says that we are not to do evil, that good may come. Now, in the case of war, you know, there may be an exception to that during certain circumstances. But remember, Rahab has been a heathen all her life. And she did what she was used to doing. And it was sin, which is not good. But again, her sin does not cancel out her faith in God. 6. But she had taken them up to the roof and hidden them under the stalks of flax she had laid out on the roof. You say, well, wouldn't someone be suspicious? No, because everyone used to dry their flax on the roof. And this is good thinking by Rahab, but it was still the grace of God that kept the king from searching every square inch of that roof. God was protecting these two men, which he would have done without Rahab's lies too. 7. So the men set out in pursuit of the spies on the road that leads to the fords of the Jordan, and as soon as the pursuers had gone out, the gate was shut. The king's men head out in the direction of the Israelite camp. No doubt they believed the spies were headed home. Verse 8. Before the spies lay down for the night, she went up on the roof. And so Rahab goes up by these two guys and fills them in on how she just helped them out. Verse 9. And here's why. And said to them, I know that the Lord has given this land to you, and that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. Jericho was a fortified city with a tough army. They were no pushover, but they were all cringing in fear because they know about the God of Israel. And they know that the God of Israel has them in his sights, and he is about to pull the trigger. 10. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. You know, that Red Sea thing happened 40 years earlier. The defeat of the two powerful Amorite kings, that was recent history. So these people from Jericho, they knew that God Almighty was still fighting for Israel, which means they are doomed. They know that. 11. When we heard of it, our hearts sank, and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on the earth below. The population of Jericho, including the fighting men, are all depressed. Beyond depressed. They are in despair, frozen with fear, actually. They all know that the God of Israel is the God of the universe. And they all know that He gives the earth to whoever He wants, and no one can stop Him. And they also know that the Lord is not happy with them. No wonder they are afraid. 12. Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family, because I have shown kindness to you. Give me a sure pledge or a sure sign, and that sure sign would just be their word. Rahab knew that these two Israelites were good men and trustworthy men. To have the one true God on their side, they had to be. So if they swear that she will be protected, she will believe them. Unless a person is really warped, they know instinctively that if there is a one true God, then He is good and trustworthy and rewards others who are that way as well. 13. That you will spare the lives of my father and mother, my brothers and sisters, and all who belong to them, and that you will save us from death. Rahab is just as concerned for the protection of her family as she is for herself. She doesn't want to be saved herself and then leave the rest of her family behind. No true Christian wants that. Verse 14. Our lives for your lives, the men assured her. If you don't tell what we are doing, we will treat you kindly and faithfully when the Lord gives us the land. Our lives for your lives, the spies say. In other words, if we have to die to protect you and your family, Rahab, then that is what we will do. Well, she has her answer, doesn't she? Her and her family will be kept safe. God is a God of His word. And verse 15, and we'll stop with this today. So she let them down by a rope through the window, for the house she lived in was part of the city wall. I don't know if you can picture this, but Rahab's home, her apartment, the inside of it, the inside window was facing toward the inside of the city, but her outer wall was actually the wall of the city. How high it was, I don't know. But it must have been pretty high, because it was a wall of protection. And Rahab must have been a strong woman, too, by the way, to let these guys down slowly by a rope out her window. She must have been a strong woman, and they must have trusted her strength and her commitment to them and to the God of Israel to let them down easy. And she did, and we'll see what happens after this next time when we pick up our study in verse 16. Until next time, Mike Murat here for Scripture Verse by Verse. So long, everyone.